Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. As the announcer there just told you, my name's Tim Wildman, and joining me in studio is Tony Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Tony.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning, sir.
And from sunny Florida. Okay. Nice. Well, never mind.
I was a little bit of a technical difficulty.
We're having a little technical difficulty with sunny Florida. And I don't even know if it's sunny down there today.
But I'm sure it is.
It's a sunshine state, right?
If it is.
Ray Pritchard.
Ray will let us know.
Oh, he will. He's already let me know once this morning.
Yeah. We're safe in saying it's warm.
Okay.
Yes,
we can't
that's
hear,
right.
There's Ray. Ray's talking to us. Okay. Ray. Just interpret my hand signals, Ray. I'm going to give you, what do you call that? Hand signals.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, sign language.
Like deaf people use.
Sign language.
Yeah, sign language. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to get Ray.
Give him some of these.
If you're wondering what's going on here, folks, we in our studio can see Ray in Florida talking to us. We can't hear him. And that projects poorly on live radio.
Right? Yeah. Hearing is very important.
So for those of you watching on the internet, watching our show on the internet, I'm donning my Grinch. Today's Grinch Day, isn't it?
Yes. And Grinch Day.
You guys chose to be Grinches and not participate.
I have Christmas green on.
Oh, did you? Well, yeah. Okay.
I'm sure. What's the Canadian equivalent of the Grinch?
Have you ever seen a better Grinch hat? Grinch hat than what I have on right now?
Actually, no.
No, you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Grinch hat on right now with
and that's not just because you're the president.
No.
I really mean that.
No,
I have never seen the best.
This is a Cracker Barrel. This is a Cracker Barrel special. Allison and I were in Cracker Barrel a couple of weeks ago, and we picked up this hat.
I fully believe that.
It's really for our family Christmas get-together.
Oh, yeah.
Which we all, you know how families do pajamas or a theme or whatever like that.
That's probably one of the smartest, you know, Cracker Barrel. They knew what they were doing. Having the general store with the toys and the candy, but right there at the front before you go into the restaurant, it's just a kid. I lose all my kids every time we walk in there. They just disperse.
Cracker Barrel is one of those places that they start promoting Christmas in August.
Yeah.
That's right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. They want to get ahead of everybody
else.
Yeah,
that's right.
So anyway, I'm gonna take this hat on because I can't take myself seriously as a radio talk show host.
Bottom of the hour.
If I keep this hat on. Ray, can you hear us now?
Hey, can you hear me?
There he is.
You are.
Hey, I have no idea what happened. I think the alligators got into the signal here, ate my cord or something.
Oh, me. How you doing, brother?
I am doing good. It's 68 degrees here in Florida.
An iguana fell on his...
on my Comrex.
An iguana fell out of a tree.
It gets below 70, the iguanas start falling out of trees.
That's right.
All right, so welcome back.
Thank you.
Ray Pritchard joining us. If you're new to the show, Ray joins us remotely on Tuesdays and Thursdays. All right, you were telling us this exhausting trip you took. I just wanted you to share it with our listeners because they can be also exhausted.
A week ago Monday, we left Hudson, Florida, just north of Tampa. Drove up to Tupelo, spent the day in Tupelo on the air last Tuesday, then had a banquet, luncheon, and then the board meeting, and then drove from there that same day to Jonesboro, Arkansas, spent the night, drove up to Kansas City to our Kansas home, spent the night there, flew on Thursday to Portland, Oregon, and then Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I spoke at a Christmas conference at Cannon Beach Conference Center on the Pacific Coast, then drove back to Portland.
Wait, there's more.
Drove back to Portland, spent 8 hours in the Portland airport, took the red-eye flight from Portland to Chicago, got no sleep, landed about 6 in the morning, went to the hospital to see a dear friend who was the chairman of the board of our ministry for 20 years.
Oh.
And battling with kidney cancer, and we got to see him one final time and pray with him and thank God for his life and ministry. That was Monday morning, and then a flu just went from O'Hare Airport to the hospital and then back to O'Hare, and then flew to Kansas City and had dinner with our oldest son and his family Monday night. And then Tuesday morning got up and drove to Birmingham, and yesterday drove back here to Tampa, Florida. So that's about 3,000 miles in the last 9 or 10 days.
I think I saw that same journey at the beginning of like one of the Indiana Jones movies, where he's around the map. That's what it reminds me of.
Oh, man.
You drove one day from Kansas City to Birmingham?
That's right, yeah.
How many hours was that?
That was 12 hours, 12 and a half hours to Birmingham, and then the rest of the way yesterday. So we were a little bleary-eyed when we woke up this morning.
So you're not responsible for what you say today.
even less responsible than usual. Let's put it that way.
Man, you're right, Tony. That's the Indiana Jones movie, for those who've seen the movies with him traveling the globe.
The map. Traveling around the world.
From the Eastern time zone to the Central to the Pacific.
You drove within 2 miles of my house. What time was that when you did that on the other night? You went, because you had the I-22, right? Yeah.
That's right. That's right. We would have come by. Actually, it would have been late. It would have been late on Tuesday. When we finally
he thought about stopping in. Just
I thought about
stop.
Stopping. I
just
thought maybe one more tell Allison to add a couple more.
Well, Tim stays up late. You know,
we don't host people at our house. we just sit you down to the hotel.
That's right. I understand that.
I don't know. That's not in the Bible. You don't have to do that, right, Tony? You don't have to host people in your house overnight. Am I right?
I don't know.
I mean, it just says greet the stranger.
I'm no stranger.
He's no
right?
stranger.
You may be
entertaining angels unaware. Entertaining angels unaware.
I've been called many things, but not an angel, aware or unaware.
Yeah, I think the new versions of the Bible say greet the stranger and then send them away.
Then put them up in the hotel. Yeah,
that's right.
All right.
I mean, that's pretty much what the innkeeper in Bethlehem
did, right?
There's no room in the inn.
I know there are people that are really hospitable, and they just host a bunch of people overnight, family members during Christmas and so forth. And I just, God bless that spirit.
But that's
not where the Lord's led
me. It's not your spiritual gift.
We all have gifts, right?
That's right.
Hospitality. And callings.
One guy said one time... he had a bunch of people over at his house and for like a Christmas party. It got to be like 10 o'clock or something like that. And he said to his wife in front of all the guests, he said, "Honey, I think it's time for us to go to bed. Some of these people might want to go home."
Hint, hint, hint.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Lot to talk about today on the program. Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us at the bottom of the hour, so we look forward to talking to Alex about this story. Hobby Lobby, yes, that Hobby Lobby, is giving away 500,000 free copies of the Lee Strobel book, well-known Christian author, The Case for Christmas. And that's just, we just applaud Hobby Lobby for doing this, and we tried to get Lee Strobel on, the author, but he was unavailable, and so Alex is going to talk about that and The Case for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to him about that. All right, is that all? I think that's all the housekeeping we need to take care of. We need to move into the news of the day. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I remember back in my DJ days, there was a song by Ray Stevens, "Everything Is Beautiful."
In its own way.
That was kind of the theme of President Trump's address to the nation.
Tony watched the whole thing. 20 minutes, was it, Tony?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
And everything's beautiful, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, President's speech last night did not waste any time.
I haven't seen it yet. I've seen a picture. Was he sitting down at the... at the desk, the presidential desk, whatever they call that. You know how historically presidents have addressed the nation from there? Mm-hmm. Was he standing right. up or what?
I think it was standing up.
Standing up?
Okay. Yes. He had a Christmas tree, I say, close by, okay. as I recollect.
You know, I wasn't paying attention to the decor. Fred, I'm sorry. Can neither confirm or deny. I was listening, honestly.
You just wanted to know if we were going to war with Venezuela.
So this was blasting right. in the background while I was getting kids ready for bed.
All right. Anyway, President Trump, in a speech last night, says, families, hey, hang on, families. Money is on the way.
Okay.
Cut number three.
Next year, you will also see the results of the largest tax cuts in American history that were really accomplished through our great, big, beautiful bill. Under these cuts, many families will be saving between $11,000 and $20,000 a year. And next spring is projected to be the largest tax refund season of all time. In the new year, I will announce some of the most aggressive housing reform plans in American history. A major factor in driving up housing costs was the colossal border invasion. The last administration and their allies in Congress brought in millions and millions of migrants and gave them taxpayer-funded housing.
So there you have it. And he also made note that he inherited an economy that was in shambles because of Joe Biden. But he also had a big announcement last night for our members of the military, and they have reason to celebrate today. Cut number two.
1,450,000 military service members will receive a special, we call Warrior Dividend before Christmas. In honor of our nation's founding in 1776, we are sending every soldier $1,776. Think of that. And the checks are already on the way. We made a lot more money than anybody thought because of tariffs, and the bill helped us along. Nobody deserves it more than our military.
He says the checks are underway. That caused me concern. If they're going through the Postal Service, it may be the new year.
The checks will get there sometime in the next 3 to 4 weeks, maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah. By the way, the Postal Service has, they have staffing problems too now.
Yeah.
But let me just say this, because we have a lot of Postal Service workers who listen to us.
Right.
And
right.
They're busting their tails.
They are.
And there are a lot of good people and hardworking people that work for the United States Postal Service, but also there is the staffing issues. Mm-hmm. They are often mail goes missing. You don't know what black hole it's going into. They have a lot of problems overall in their execution, and the price keeps going up. It's 74 cents now to send a first class piece of mail.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. Back in my day.
Take us back.
Back in my day. I remember when first class mail was 25 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Maybe 22. I think I remember 22. Ray, you remember? What do you remember? You probably remember when the Postal Service started, didn't you?
That's right. When it was they called it the Pony Express.
Express.
That's right.
Seems like I remember 22 cent first class mail. This would have probably been mid 80s, late 80s,
something like that, right? What is it now? What is
75 cents? 74 cents, mm-hmm. I think that's true. For a just standard first class letter, but go buy a stamp, put it on it. But anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge there are a lot of wonderful people who do work for the Postal Service, but man, they have their problems in delivery. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. Yeah.
Just as a general point, I think it's a brilliant political move to send, I love it, $1,776 each. Right? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Soldier? So, what's that? Yeah. I got to ask. Is that before or after taxes? That's what I need to know.
Okay,
if it needs to be like 1776 after taxes.
Yeah, it's probably before, but
yeah,
you get technical.
But yeah, I agree, Ray. Go keep going.
It's a brilliant political move to do that. Give it to the members of the military, and to say this is sort of like the dividend from the tariffs, right?
Yeah,
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Dividends from the you know what? A lot of people thought President Trump was going to talk about a situation with Venezuela, Fred. What happened to that?
Well,
he mention anything about that?
No, it was strictly on the economy last night.
That's right. Didn't even mention Venezuela.
And I think the reason for that You've seen a lot of polling out there in recent months that say Americans are unhappy that the president is not coming forward and not coming through with the promises he made during the election. I think the point last night was things are getting better, but it's taking a while because, as the president said last night, he inherited a mess from Joe Biden. So last night's message was things are getting better, like the inflation rate just coming out this morning, 2.7, I think it is.
Right, 2.7 versus 3. That was CPI, and then core inflation was 2.6 versus a 3.1 expected. So he did come out, and he made some claims, and I'm assuming he's seen the data beforehand. Otherwise, you wouldn't be coming out claiming. He said inflation is way down, and he said it's going to go even further down. So, yeah, some good things.
Nobody's ever seen anything like it.
No, it's the biggest drop, the biggest drop ever.
The biggest drop ever.
Yeah. So that's anyway, just that's just a decrease in the rate in the increase. So, of inflation.
Some people who were pundits said that Trump played the media yesterday in this way, and everybody thought he was going to talk about Venezuela.
Yeah.
And so he got a lot of people to tune in and watch for that reason. And then he switched to the economy, which is his prerogative. Well, he never said he was going to be talking about Venezuela. So I think they covered that in the White House press briefing yesterday. But he probably did that because he knew the liberal news media would not cover it if he were going to.
Yeah, if it was just a cheerleading.
Yeah, talk about the good things that his administration has accomplished on the economic front. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What about Venezuela, though, Fred?
Well, it's fascinating to kind of think about where we're headed with Venezuela. Everybody's familiar. We've been hitting those drug-carrying boats coming out of Venezuela. We know there are 13, 14, 15 ships, U.S. Navy, including our largest carrier in the area. We know this week the story that developed, taking over oil tankers that are coming from Venezuela. So all that is happening, and the president has said that perhaps, now he's hinted at this, he hasn't declared anything yet, but he has hinted at action on land. What that means, we're not sure yet. But it seems that the president is, well, his overall goal is that dictator, as some people call him, Maduro, he needs to leave. There is the opposition leader, this lady who just won the Nobel Peace Prize, that's who he favors. But also, there is a belief in the Trump administration that prior to Maduro, that there were a lot of U.S. oil interests developing the oil industry in Venezuela, and President Trump believes we want that back. So that's where we are with that. He's not going to move away from this anytime soon.
No.
I think his goal is, even though people don't like to hear this, his goal is regime change.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it will be, I don't know, no one knows for sure what extent, if they start doing special military operations on land, no one knows what extent that would be, how much it would take to topple a Maduro regime, no one can say, which is part of the danger of the situation. It can escalate quickly. Matter of fact, Venezuela has started sending naval escorts to oil tankers as a sign of, I guess, escalation in the conflict. I mean, that's how you create friction is, we're trying to stop those tankers, and now Venezuela's just kind of...
Why are we doing this?
Well, I think Fred is hinting at it. We want the regime change. So if you're asking me personally, we want the regime change so that we can get a friendly administration, in Venezuela who will open up their oil exports to us. And I think a broader strategic move, almost this, renewal of the Monroe Doctrine, is to just dominate our hemisphere and box China out even further. China's not happy about us,
cutting
sanctioning,
off.
Cutting off oil. Venezuela is a exporter to China of oil, a lot of oil. So,
all right, let me ask you this question. Ray, what are your thoughts on this? Go ahead.
Well, number one, Venezuela has been a haven for the cartels, for drug runners, drug lords, terrorists of all kinds. I think exactly what Fred and Tony said, that President Trump wants regime change in Venezuela. And I suppose, I'm thinking to myself, how do most Americans feel about this? I suppose most Americans would say that's a good idea to get regime change down there. I think we don't want to see American boots on the ground. We don't want to see American troops invading Caracas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work.
Right.
The blockade's a pretty good idea because Venezuela is so heavily dependent on oil exports to prop up their economy. So I'm cautiously hopeful that President Trump's plan is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump's foreign policy, it is head spinning because he's supposed to go to China to visit China, I think, in April. He met when he was in South Korea there a few weeks ago, and everything seemed to be really good. They all came away saying we had a great meeting. Now he's doing this blockade, which is stopping the oil going to China. But then last night, the State Department announced that the United States is going to give $10 billion worth of military equipment to Taiwan.
Right.
So it's amazing what Trump does. He talks about, I have a great relationship with Xi in China. We're going to exchange visits and everything is going along well. And then he does this knowing he has to know that China is not going to be happy about the blockade. China's certainly not happy about this $10 billion in military equipment going to Taiwan. But that is President Trump.
Did you say 10 B?
$10 billion. Yes.
Dollars.
What do you think?
$10 million. I don't even know why I thought about that. That buys you half a plane.
Yes.
Right. You can get half a plane. You asking me, Tony?
Yeah, what do you think?
What do I think? Well, as an astute observer of international affairs, with my Grinch cap on, and I'm taking it off in a minute.
Yeah, well,
I'm only doing this to participate because our HR said we need to be – man, my wife said you need to be a team player.
Right.
So. But can you take me seriously with this? If I talk about international affairs, listen, I don't know what to think. I'm indecisive on the rightness or wrongness or goodness or badness, to borrow from Christmas season, of or naughty or niceness, of blowing boats out of the water in the middle of the Caribbean, just because we say they're running drugs. We've never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
I understand where people say, hey, it's a good thing they're running drugs to the U.S. They need to be dealt with. And my sympathies, I guess, lie there. But I just, it's so unconventional that to process our F-16s going where people are on the beach.
Right. Right.
And knocking boats out of the water. And then killing the people that are on there, that are in the water. I'm indecisive on the morality of that. Okay, at this point,
right.
But now regime change in Venezuela, that would be a good thing
for the people of Venezuela.
And the way President Trump's going about it, he's forcing the issue. You got a military blockade of commerce. Of the oil.
That's their lifeblood. That's all they got, really.
Yeah, the oil tankers that are leaving. So this is going to force their... Either Venezuela is going to start striking back, in which that would be a bad idea. They don't have any... They're boxed in. Maduro's... He'll probably do better to take an exile.
Yep.
You know, if an exile offer is available for him to...
go to Russia or somewhere
like
that.
Fly away. I wouldn't go to Siberia. You know, I wouldn't take that one. But I may take something in the Mediterranean.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All right, we shall return momentarily. Did I answer your question?
You did. You did.
Was it astute?
I was locked in.
Very.
My astute answer was, I don't know what to think about it. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Tony Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. We're all four here, and because we thought, hey, we don't have enough voices on this show this hour, we invited our good friend Dr. Alex McFarland, host of Exploring the Word, each afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time with Brother Bert Harper, to join us now. Good morning, Alex.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What you got planned?
Well, exploring the Word and just being with Angie and family. And I do have a special surprise for Angie, but I'm not going to say to a nationwide radio audience because it might get back to her.
Oh, okay. So you bought her a special gift, I guess.
I did.
As opposed to...
I bet you I can guess. It's a special jar. Special jar of peanut butter.
Well, no.
Hey, that reminds me. I haven't got mine from you.
Do yet. You know what? We ran out. We ran out of
peanut
butter.
Ran out of peanuts?
We ran out of peanut butter.
You ran out of peanut butter? Well, for those who are new to this show, at Dr. Alex McFarland, my brother Alex in North Carolina, has a peanut farm.
Yes.
And he makes peanut butter and sends it out as gifts to people from the McFarland Peanut Farm. Mm-hmm. And I get mine every Christmas, right?
It might be the first week of January this time.
The Postal Service.
That sounded like I was trying to embarrass Alex. And that was the furthest thing from my thinking right there. We really do
sell peanut butter. And all the money that... It goes to missions. And I have a number in my heart. I believe one day the peanut butter company is going to do massive work for missions. So,
amen.
And we had made peanut butter. My grandmother taught me how to make peanut butter. And so we've been doing it since 2009. We started the company in 2009. Everything it's ever made, 100% of the profits have gone into missions. It will continue that way.
You know, when I think about peanuts, I think about South Georgia or maybe or Alabama. That's good. Maybe South Alabama.
Yeah, and a lot of peanuts come out of Oklahoma too.
Really? So peanuts
and Georgia.
Okay. Wow.
And
I knew Georgia. Georgia's known for peanuts, but yeah. North Carolina too, huh? What do you got to have? Certain kind of soil or what?
We use all Spanish peanuts, twice roasted.
Are they roasted? Legal?
Pardon? Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they're
using illegal peanuts.
Totally, we go through INS. They are legal Spanish peanuts.
Well, I mean, I just had to ask. I know everybody else was doing the same
good.
Thing. Okay, but, legal peanuts.
But yeah, there's a website, Alex McFarland Peanut Butter.
There you go.
Are you serious, Clark? Type it in, Tony. I've known Alex for a long time. I've never been to his website. Alex McFarland
Peanut Butter.
Peanut Butter. Com.
Oh boy,
is that right?
Oh boy,
I hope we go.
There's a couple of ways.
Here we go.
McFarland Farms peanut butter and
wow,
me nuts for peanuts.
Menutsforpeanuts.com. Okay.
Now,
took me a second. When that popped up, I was like, oh, well, okay, all right. Here we're good. McFarland Farms.
I've got to give a shout out to my dear grandmother, Tim. When you get to heaven, you will meet Joy McFarland.
Okay.
And Mama Joy, she was one of my best friends growing up, but she was a very godly lady. She's the one that taught me how to make peanut butter. And anyway, she also was the one, when I was a little bitty kid, she said to me, she said, you're going to be a preacher. And I said, no, I'm not. Because, you know, we grew up in a pretty liberal Presbyterian church. And when I was in college is when the Lord really got a hold of my life. But the only preachers I knew anything about were not terribly impressive. And my grandmother would say, you're going to be a preacher one day. And I said, Grandmother, I'm going to do a lot of things, but I would never be a preacher. And anyway, she lived 1 month. I got saved at 21, and about a month later, she went on to heaven. But my grandmother, somewhere on the website, I haven't been on the website in a little while, but her picture's in there. And I am very, on many levels, indebted to my dear grandmother.
What's the website, Tony?
Well, it's Me Nuts for Peanuts. MENUTS.
The number four.
Peanuts.com.
Okay. Dr. Alex McFarland, peanut farmer extraordinaire, joining us.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
the peanut butter goes to missions, for real.
That's a really good, worthy cause.
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you're listening to Today's Issue. So the story we wanted you to comment on, Alex, the headline on Fox News is Hobby Lobby gives away 500,000 free copies of Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christmas. And I was just, you know, wanted to stand up and cheer for Hobby Lobby doing this.
Amen.
What a great way to witness to their customers for Christ by just giving away, nobody's charging anything, giving away 500,000 copies of The Case for Christmas. You know Lee Strobel, the author, right?
I know Lee very well. He actually, when I was president of SES in Charlotte, he would come and stay at our house sometimes. And I first met him, but I'm glad you do.
That goes back to the previous segment, Alex. I'm sorry you didn't hear that. But I got a conviction about hosting people at my house. So we don't do that. But I'm glad you do, and somebody stands up.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
We've known Lee a little over 25 years. And, this is a great story. He very famously wrote a book. Actually, it's one of the biggest-selling apologetics books ever, called The Case for Christ. Mm-hmm. See, Lee Strobel has a law degree from Yale University, New Haven, Connecticut. And Lee, for years, was an atheist. He was a decorated journalist with the Chicago Tribune. And what's really wild is when I was in graduate school, the leader of my thesis committee is a very famous apologist named Gary Habermas. And I remember Gary Habermas said to me one time, he said, hey, there's this reporter from the Chicago Tribune that wants to interview me. And all this is in Lee Strobel's biography and all. But anyway, Gary Habermas, a great defender of the resurrection, was very instrumental in Lee Strobel becoming a born-again Christian. I mean, and Strobel is, he's a wonderful man, sweet, sweet guy, but he's brilliant. I mean, this guy is, like, brilliant. And he looked at the evidence. He became a Christian. And by the way, just to kind of impress on the significance of Strobel and his meticulous research, Tim, do you remember many, many, many years ago when the Ford Pintos caught on fire, and there was a lawsuit that went all the way to the Supreme. You remember all that?
Yes.
Well, Lee Strobel was, the Supreme Court called him as an expert witness in that with his legal background. I mean, my point is he's got the chops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And among the books that he wrote is The Case for Christmas. Now, first came out a decade ago. And there's a chapter that I provided research for on Jesus was not a myth. Zeus and Osiris, Jesus is not like Greek mythology. This is historical. And so I feel very grateful that I got to contribute some research. But Hobby Lobby's giving away, while supplies last, free copy. So folks, if you want, it's an easy read. It's just a beautiful little book. The gospel is in there. It would be a great thing to pass along to a skeptic. But kudos to the hardworking scholar Lee Strobel, and double kudos to Hobby Lobby for putting the good news of salvation in 500,000 hands this Christmas.
Yeah, right. Amen.
The Green family, which is the ones who own Hobby Lobby, I think they're out of Tulsa, but they are notorious for their generosity and their work in spreading the gospel of Christ. They are the primary reason the Bible Museum exists today.
Exactly.
In Washington, D.C. So, as you say, we give a big shout out and applause to the Hobby Lobby company. They're also closed on Sunday.
Amen.
Like Chick-fil-A. The other thing that Hobby Lobby does, Christmas and Easter, they buy full-page newspaper ads all over the country with the gospel message of some kind in these full-page newspaper ads. So you'll probably see a Hobby Lobby ad this Christmas, if you haven't already, in your local newspaper if you read it. So good on, as they say, Hobby Lobby. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Oh, Alex, what are you and Bert going to cover this afternoon on Exploring the Word?
Well, we are wrapping up Isaiah 28, getting into Isaiah 29, and going through the book of Isaiah. And then, of course, tomorrow we'll be live and we'll take calls. On Friday is Fire Away Friday, and all questions all the hour. But we are just about midway through the book of Isaiah. I will say that next week and towards New Year's Eve, we've got some special things we've pre-recorded. I think it'll be very inspiring. Some special things about Christmas, kind of a challenging, inspiring New Year's Eve show as we, good Lord willing, embark on a new year. So, Tim, I just give God the glory. Exploring the Word touches so many lives. Everywhere I go, literally every town I preach in, people come up, many of whom have driven hours and hours and hours, and they just want to say what AFR means to them.
Amen.
And we give God the glory.
Amen. Hey, we give God the glory. Amen. Because God gave my father the idea of founding this radio network. Gave him the idea in the late 80s, and then 91 we went on with our first radio station. Now we have 170, and reaching also a lot of people on the AFR app. All right, Alex, well, we look forward to this afternoon Exploring the Word with Bert Harper, and that's every weekday, folks, on American Family Radio at 3:05 Central Time. So 3:05 Central Time this afternoon, Bert and Alex will be on the air with their live on-air Bible study, and they're in the book of Isaiah. All right, Alex, take care. And you said the peanut butter will be here when?
Early January, I promise.
Early January, because I look for it every year.
The site says 5 to 8 days after ordering. So,
is that what it says? Okay.
We got you covered, brother.
And I'm sorry I brought it up in front of everybody like that. I just hadn't gotten mine yet. And so anyway. All right. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
God bless.
Merry Christmas, Alex.
Thanks, God. Merry Christmas,
right,
everybody.
Merry Christmas. Anybody else get peanut butter from Alex here?
I've tasted it. It is really,
good. I've had it before.
Yeah. Me nuts for peanuts, right?
Yep. Me nuts for peanuts.
But you got to put the number 4 in there.
Yeah.
Like the numeric number, right?
Yes.
But he gives all the profits that he makes off that.
That's what he says, yeah. All but the profits.
That guy's on the road all the time. I don't know how he has
time. Yeah, who's making the peanut butter?
That's what I mean. I didn't, you know, we'll maybe ask him that next time. But also, I mean, to farm, you got to get out there and
plant.
I wanted to ask him, how do you even make peanut butter? I don't. I don't. He said, he said Spanish peanuts, and that's more than I knew before about how to make peanut butter. That's it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
Tony, you know how to make peanut butter, don't you?
No, well, no. It's in my in all my homesteading that I do in my free time. I just haven't added peanut butter on there yet. So I'm somewhere between, you know, the organic milk and the chickens gardening.
Like, he's probably like Colonel. Probably like Colonel Sanders. He's not going to give away his recipe to everybody.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
I think they lay them out on a big floor and they walk on them.
And they walk on them like people squash the grapes when they're making wine. Same idea.
I think you got your peanuts and your cranberry farmers mixed up there, Fred.
Oh, dear.
Walking on peanuts. Oh, my goodness.
Needs to be a truth.
That's a song.
And walking on peanuts. I think that's Katrina and the Waves.
Yes.
From the 80s.
Yeah.
Walking on Sunshine, which is a peppy song, by the
way. It is.
Yes.
Tony, you want to reel this show back in?
We need to. I think we need. I'm not the person to do it. Fred needs to get us back on target
here. Fred, get us back on track,
here.
Fred.
Yeah,
give
that's
us some
right. That's
news.
Why I'm here.
All right, go ahead.
Dan Bongino. I think most folks in our audience are probably very familiar with him. Probably saw him first on Fox several years ago. He left Fox, did a podcast, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, early this year, he was announced as the FBI's deputy director. Now, a lot of folks thought, Dan Bongino, knowing him, he's out there. He's a former Secret Service military guy, and is kind of an A personality. Mm-hmm. And when I heard he was going to be deputy director, a lot of people said, that's not the kind of personality. Deputy director is the kind of guy who looks after things behind the scenes and kind of administrative. So it wasn't a total shock when I heard last night, yesterday afternoon, actually, that he has resigned. Mm-hmm. He is the first high-profile appointee of the president to leave.
Why is he wasn't even there a year.
No.
Why is he leaving?
Well,
what do you say?
This is where. No. Well, he thanked the president for the opportunity, the appointment, et cetera, et cetera. Now, he didn't specifically say why he was leaving. So that's where the speculation begins. That the speculation being that he didn't get along with the attorney general.
Yeah.
And had a difference of opinion.
Pam Bondi?
Yep. Pam Bondi had a difference of opinion on what to do with the Epstein files. Mm-hmm. Now, that's out there. That's speculation. But anyway, they did not get along. You know, when the resignation announcement came out last night, she said, you know, good luck, Dan. We hear he's going back to Fox and will be co-hosting a show on Fox, which probably is a better platform for him, given his personality and the degree of his opinions on where things are in the nation.
Tony?
You know, I think he probably had the expectation, as did a lot of people, which hasn't, in my opinion, panned out exactly the way we all want it, that he would come in and start cleaning house and that there would be sweeping reforms, you know, investigating, obviously, the failures of the Secret Service at Butler. That almost cost President Trump his life. I think he probably came in a little idealistic and was met with the cold, hard reality of the bureaucratic state in D.C. And like we mentioned, you know, he was told, you know, deputy director is probably it's not the level where you get to make those sweeping changes that need to be made. So he probably was frustrated and after giving it a shot for a year, realized that nothing was going to change.
Knowing his personality, almost everybody listening to us has heard or seen Dan Bongino over the years. He is going to say.
Yeah, he's a firebrand.
When he leaves, he's going to say why he left. Maybe not now is appropriate when he's not out of office yet. Now, he was so you got Pam Bondi, who's the attorney general. That's a cabinet level position. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know that. And then Kash Patel is the FBI director. The FBI director is under the attorney general. That's his boss. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Dan Bongino was Cash Patel's underling?
Deputy. Yes.
Deputy. So he's two levels removed from being in any kind of real position of authority, I mm-hmm. guess you could say. Although that's pretty high. Uh-huh. Your deputy director, whatever, of the assistant to the FBI director. I mean, that's pretty high level. But I imagine he'll say, you know, what's going on, the reason he left. What would they have disagreed about on the Epstein files, if that's true?
The degree of release, I think, that had to do, how much you're going to put out there.
Yeah, there was...
Well, like what? I mean, what...
Well, if I had to get, and this is all, again, like Fred says, it's all, we're all just speculation.
But we're, speculation and rumors, that's the, you know, those are the two pillars upon which a talk show is.
That's right.
That's built, right.
That's right. Right.
Do we remember the interview, the very weird, odd interview with Dan Bongino and Cash Patel? Was it with the Fox News? Was it with a Fox News host, I believe. I can't remember which one, but they were both very kind of robotic in their denial of certain allegations about Epstein, you know, whether he killed himself or not. And it was just odd. And there was conflict at that point on about, you know, Pam Bondi was saying there's tens of thousands of, you know, files and documents or videos. It was videos. And then all of a sudden there's nothing. And then it got messy, and it's still a messy situation. So, again, just speculating, I would say Dan is probably just washing his hands
of
it.
Let me ask you this. What, what for the people who were just live this Epstein story, a lot of people in the MAGA movement, the conservative movement, were like, Epstein, release the files. What were people who were really into that hoping would be accomplished by releasing all the Epstein files, Tony? And were you in that camp?
Oh, I was in that camp at the beginning. Okay. I wanted to see.
What were you wondering, though?
Well, I was wondering, first of all, who was really on the Epstein client list, right? Who has real connections with Epstein? If anybody, is there evidence on, which there is, obviously, I think it's pretty safe saying that, who has evidence on them that they were involved in Epstein's nefarious, wicked activity? I just, for me, it came from a sense of wanting to see justice done, to see justice brought to individuals who it needed to be brought
to. But because of the crimes, or because you think they had influence over high-level American officials / politicians who were subject to blackmail?
Both. I'd want to. I think the American people deserve to have that information.
Because he ran at the highest levels of our government.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Epstein did. Go ahead, Fred.
One of the things that has puzzled me is that after Donald Trump was elected, just over a year ago, as president, the Democrats immediately started saying, release the files, release the files. Wait a minute. Joe Biden and his attorney general had those files for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You had them in your possession, Democrats. Now you're saying there's something really bad here that the Trump administration wants to hold. Do you think for a moment, if Donald Trump's name was high profile, that he visited the island, mm-hmm. do you think that Joe Biden's attorney general's department wouldn't have put that out there the 4 years they were in office? So that's why I couldn't understand why all of a sudden Trump gets elected. Yeah. You want to see this stuff.
Good point, right?
Yeah, I imagine, Tim, that if all the Epstein stuff was released, I think we'd be surprised at the names that are on there. Mm-hmm. There, we would see some Democrat names on there.
Uh-huh.
We would see some Republican names on there, mm-hmm. including some people that we personally support, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean anything nefarious happened, but maybe somebody was on that plane. You know, he had the island. Somebody went to the island. Even if you went to the island, it doesn't prove you did anything wrong. But I imagine that's part of the reason that nobody was pushing too hard to, you know, it wasn't all Democrats on that list are all Republicans.
It's just embarrassing to be on the names in his quote files. I think for a lot of people that was been, like you said, not that they necessarily did anything wrong. Although when you hang out with company like that, you know the reputation of that person. If you hang out with them enough, from what I can tell, okay, so President Trump, he didn't want this released either, right?
Well, lately he has said, go ahead, do you know, whatever you guys want.
There was supposedly tension between him and some of the other administration on how much to release. Mm-hmm. Now, you could take that two ways. You could take that because you could say, well, because his name's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been anything about Trump doing anything unethical, immoral, or illegal having to do with his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
That's correct.
I just look at it like they were both. Trump was a New York business tycoon, and he was a playboy, and he ran in the same circles as this guy in New York City, and a lot of liberals did too. There were Democrats and whatever.
Bill Clinton.
Well, Bill Clinton looks terrible in all this. Huh? Am I right?
Yeah.
Right?
He does. He does.
I mean, he looks terrible. He looks like the worst of them all in terms of politicians. His relationship with Jeffrey Epstein was, maybe this episode's all behind us, but this goes back to our point about Dan Bongino.
Mm-hmm.
You say maybe he was at odds with Pam Bondi.
But listen,
okay, and again, I've said President Trump, there's no evidence of him doing anything wrong, except maybe having bad judgment on having a friendship with this guy. But mm-hmm. you're talking about going back to the 80s and 90s, and who knows all what was going on back then. But now, I think President Trump didn't want this out in the news just because his name was attached to it and they got all those pictures. And so, again, not that he did anything wrong, but he didn't want it to be the top story when he's dealing with all these other issues, which in his mind are more advantageous to his administration. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. We shall return with more of today's issues on American Family Radio with Steve Paisley Jordahl in just a minute.